our lives, we know that He is with us every step of the way. And so if you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn with me to John's Gospel, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 1st verse. John's Gospel, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 1st verse. And we're going to read here just a little bit here. As I continue the series to the ends of the earth, sermon series number 3, and the title of my message today is this: The Master Soul Winner. The Master Soul Winner. We are going to see where Jesus literally leads someone to Himself. And we're going to see this today as we unfold the Word of God and as we allow the Word of God to penetrate our hearts and minds. We want to go back to this scene that I want you to see what Jesus does about soul winning. And we're talking about the word go in this series. And so if you have missed any of that, you can always go to our website, www.vfclexington.org. Click into the media area and you can keep up with this series as well if you've missed any as well. We want to thank those for watching today. My prayer is there something I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today. So let's look here. John's Gospel 4:1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself did not baptize but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Verse 4. But He needed to go through Samaria. So He came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from His journey, sat thus by the well, as it was about the 6th hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to Him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him, and He would have given you," look, "living water." And the woman said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Verse 13, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into an everlasting life.' And the woman said to Him, 'Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw.' And Jesus said to her, 'Go, call your husband and come here.' The woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' And Jesus said to her, 'You have well said, I have no husband, for you have 5 husbands, and the one who you have now is not your husband.' And in that you spoke truly." And the woman said to Him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem, in this place where one ought to worship? And Jesus said unto her, verse 21, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Your worship, what you do not know, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Look at this. And at the point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, Come and see a man who told me all things that I've ever did. Could this be the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came to him. Can I hear an amen to God's word? I want you to know today that this will show us a vivid model of evangelization, showing us a vivid model of evangelizing and sharing the good news with people that we even come in contact with. You see, in this picture here, we see Jesus is there at the well. He is human just like you. He's human just like me. He got thirsty, as we all get thirsty for water. He wanted a drink of water, but he went a specific way to the well because he knew this woman needed him. As we see today, the world needs Jesus Christ, and we need to be the one that when we've asked Jesus into our hearts and our lives, that we share the good news, we share what Jesus has done in your life to share with others. And here Jesus was saying, I want you to know who I am. Listen, I want you to know evangelism is the missing word even in most churches today. Today we see a lot of churches of great entertaining. We see a lot of great things of feeling good, coming in, going out, going through the motions, seeing the plan, seeing this, seeing that. We're getting our own appetite wet, and we're getting our own feel that we need. But I want you to know today that our main goal in a church today is to know Jesus Christ and make Him known. To let people know that they need to not go without Jesus anymore, that they need Jesus in their hearts and in their lives, and they need to take what Jesus has done in their life and share it with others. I am reminded that not many churches grow through evangelism. Yet we need to be going back to the basics. We need to come back to the basics of understanding Jesus Christ and what Jesus is wanting you and I to live out, that we are to have the character of Christ. We don't just turn the character of Christ on when we come to church. We are to turn on the character of Christ when we leave the church, when we're on our jobs, when we're meeting people, when we're talking to people. We need to show the love of God to those that we come in contact with. We have yet settled with down into a religious routines that we're going through. If we're not careful, we're going through the motions. but we're not being changed. We're being stirred, but we're not being changed. That we're not doing exactly what the Lord has asked us to do, and He has told us to go and to share and let people know what you know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet increased is mostly through people changing churches. And it's sad how churches build on other churches. They're just transferring people from one church to another church to build my church. It's almost like as pastors today will say, well, come on into my church. And if you got to leave the other church, leave that church and come on in and make my church big. Folks, it's not about making big churches. It's about sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about sharing the good news. It's not about increasing in numbers. It's not about increasing entertainment. It's not about increasing the things that satisfies us, but it's about the Bible being changed in our hearts and life so that we can be soldiers of the cross, that we can be a servant, that we can be a disciple, that we can share with those we come in contact with. That will stand the test of times. All music may go, all fog may go, all lights may go, all plans may go, everything may go, but what you know about Jesus Christ becomes solid in your foundation that you may have victory in Christ Jesus every day that you walk on this earth. Listen, you cannot bloom where you're not planted. Let me say it again. You cannot bloom where you're not planted. If you found a church, you found a Bible-believing church, and your pastor and the minister is preaching the gospel, and he's preaching the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that's the church you need to be stuck with. That he does not deviate from the Word of God, that he stays strong in the Word of God. That's who you need to be connected with. I want you to know today that evangelism can return with all its joys and its blessings. Yet let us watch the master soul winner at work as he sees this young lady at the well. And when he sees this lady at the well, it's not so much that he wants water that's coming from the well, for he came to minister to this woman that knew nothing about him. And when he began to say, if you only knew who I was, if you only knew that I had living water, that the water would never run dry, the water would be living water. That's the water today, folks, that we need in our hearts and lives. When we get Jesus, that water does not run out. That becomes living water in our hearts day in and day out, that we may live and be what Jesus Christ would want us to be. Let us watch. Let us pray. Jesus was the master soul winner. Consider his ministry to the woman at the well. My first point today is this: Jesus overcoming physical conditions to win a soul. Jesus overcoming physical conditions to win a soul. She says, that well is deep. I don't even have the rope long enough to go into the well. He says, listen, it doesn't matter how deep that well is. It doesn't matter whether we have a rope or not. I want you to know today, I am that I am. I am the living water. And this water that you will drink of, you will never run nor dry ever again, nor will you thirst again. Yet the Bible lets us know that he goes through Samaria. It's not the preferred route for a Jew at that time, because Jews and Samaritans never got along. They were bickering, fighting. They were against each other at all times. So for Jesus to go to a Samaritan for Jesus to go was out of order as the disciples began to look and say, what are you doing hanging around with a Samaritan woman? Why are you around the Samaritan woman? Listen, I want you to know it's not for us to reach the lost when it's convenient. It's not for us to reach the lost when we feel like it's right. It's not for us to say, well, I don't know, that's kind of tough. That's kind of hard. Listen, God clearly lets us know it doesn't matter how hard that it is in your mind. It is never for us to look with our minds and with our eyes, but it's to look with our hearts and say, Lord, send me, Lord. If it's me to speak a good encouragement word, if it's somebody that I need to talk to about the Lord, let it happen, because it doesn't matter how that condition looks. You see, we want that condition to be when we feel like it's right. We want that condition to be like, okay, it's got to be just right before I start sharing the gospel. It's got to be just right at the right time now before I can talk about Jesus. You know, it's got to be the right time. Listen, it doesn't matter what condition it looks like. Jesus said, go. Go. He says, I will be with you. I am with you to the ends of this world. I will be with you. What? He said, what? All authority and all power is placed on Jesus Christ. Therefore, He transfers His power unto us that we can be what we need to be in Christ Jesus. Listen, we must be ready for inconvenience. We must be ready for inconvenience. It is never for a convenient time. It always seems like it's inconvenient in life. It's inconvenient. Nothing is convenient. It just seems like doom and gloom and agony and defeat. Listen, that's what the enemy wants you to look at. Listen, the enemy does not want you to go into all the nation. He doesn't want you to talk about the gospel. He doesn't want you to let people know about Jesus. He doesn't even want you to even talk about your past of what God has saved, delivered, and healed you. He doesn't want you to say nothing about that. But it's for us to step forward and say, look what God has done. I want to share with you today that where I was is not where I am today, because I have been changed. I have been renewed. God has saved me and brought me into a world now that I can share the good news and I can share the gospel with others. Listen, changing our plans and our schedules, missing favorite television programs. I've got a series I'm watching. I've got something that I'm looking at. You see, the enemy's going to throw anything out there to keep from you calling somebody, not to gossip, but to call somebody about Jesus, to call somebody, encouraging them. Listen. Wait a minute, I'm leaving my easy chair. Wait a minute. I'm just leaving my easy chair. I was just reminded a few weeks ago, a lady here at our church, she had been bombarded, and she had told me this, she had been bombarded by telephone calls. And you know how those telemarketers are. They just keep calling and keep ringing and ringing and ringing. And it is just a nuisance, and it just seemed like it's just frustrating. And she told me, Pastor, she said, you know what? She said, I started getting all these phone calls and And she said, you know, when I would answer the phone, she said, she would tell them, she said, are you ready for Jesus' return? Are you ready when Jesus comes back? Are you ready? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Oh, and they hemmed all around, and they'll say this and say this and say that. And she went on and on and on, and it went click. So it wasn't long. A few hours went by. Phone call again. So she told me, she said, "Pastor, it would be my mission that every phone call that I get for a telemarketer, I'm going to let them know about Jesus. I'm going to let them know if they know Jesus." She said, "There's sometimes I call their bluff. They'll say, 'Yeah, we know your God.'" And she said, "No, you don't know the God I know. You don't know the God I know. Everybody's not into the same God. There's only one God, and that's Jehovah God. And that's the God of this world. That's the God of this universe." And she began to tell them, and every time they would begin to hear what she had to say, then they would go click. But folks, that's a gospel right there. That's sharing the good news. When somebody becomes a nuisance to you, turn that nuisance around and give them Jesus, and let Jesus, and let them know about your Savior and about who you serve. And are you ready to make heaven your home? Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Turn your frustrations around. Turn your madness around. Just don't say, "Well, it's another telemarketer, click." "Oh, it's just another person, click." Listen, let it be an opportunity where you can share the good news. Oh, you want them, you feel like they're on the phone. When you get on the phone with them, you feel like they're on there forever. Listen, you start talking about Jesus and you start talking about what God is. Listen, they'll click real quick. But you may have just one telemarketer that God on the other end may be dealing with, him or her. And you may be the key out of all the days that God's been moving upon them. You may be the one to lead somebody to the Lord and let them know that Jesus loves them. You see, folks, we don't know. Jesus, all he tells us is to go. He tells us to go. God will do the rest. God will do the rest. He'll move through the rest. But we are to go. Any opportunity that we have to share with anybody about your God and about what Jesus has done, that is the Great Commission, and that's what God has commissioned you and I to do. Listen, Jesus was weary. He sat down on the well. He was human just like you, human just like me. And yes, he needed some physical water. We all need water. We can't go long without water. We can go a while without food, but we can't go long without water because 85% of our body is made up of water. We need water. Listen, not too weary to witness, not too weary to care. It's fatigue. And all of a sudden, it's like, is fatigue your excuse? Is fatigue my excuse? "Oh, I'm just so tired, I can't share anything with anybody. I'm so tired. I've been here, I've been there, I've done this, I've done that. I just don't want to talk to nobody. I just don't want to be." Listen, Jesus didn't act that way. He saw a woman that was in need. He saw a woman that needed to be healed. He saw a woman that needed to be delivered. He saw a woman that had five husbands. He saw the things that was going on in this woman's life. But she, hallelujah, he didn't back off because he says, "What I have, you will never run out because it's living water." And that same water then, it's the same water now. We're not running out. Jesus has given us living water that we may live the life before the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Listen, my second point today is this, that Jesus breaking down the barriers to win a soul. He broke down the barriers to winning a soul. The woman was a Samaritan. There was a racial barrier that was taking place. She was an immoral person. A social barrier took place. Listen, it's not for us to go around with a billy bat, knocking people up on the head and telling them they're going to die and go to hell if this, and you're going to die and go to hell for this. Listen, it is for us to share the good news and let them know what Jesus has done and what Jesus can do for them. And Jesus can set people free. You can't set people free. I can't set people free. But Jesus Christ can set people free and bring them in to victory. Listen. She was an immoral person. Are you erecting barriers that keeps you from witnessing? Do you shun some, fearing that they might come literally to your church and see you? Do you neglect some because they seem unreachable? I won't touch them, but I'll touch this one. I'll talk to this, but that one, I don't know about that. Are we picking and choosing? Do you consider some beneath you or above you? All people, hear me today, all people need salvation. Every soul that's on this earth needs salvation. I don't care how nice they are or how bad they are. They have a soul. God says all souls are mine, whether they're good, whether they're bad. It is left to us to be the disciple, the servant, to share the good news and to share the love of God to them and let them know that there is a better way. Listen, all people need salvation. The up, the out, the down and out, the misfits. Listen, they all need Jesus. Sometimes I wonder how our churches would act if people that come in here was all tattered up. It had all ring piercings, had all this and that, and judged them up and down. You don't know what's in their heart. You don't know what Jesus is doing in their heart. Listen, man looks on the outer appearance, but God sees the intent of a man's heart, a woman's heart, a child's heart. And for us to prejudge and judge people, this and that and the other, that keeps us away from the kingdom of God when we need to be in the midst and knowing that Jesus has come to save whoever is lost. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And it is not for us to walk around and pick and choose. Well, she don't look like me. He don't look like me. Listen, it's not what they look. It's what's inside. Because listen, what's inside of them, when they get a hold of God and they get things changed in the inside, you'll see the outside starting to change. When God gets a grip inside their heart, they'll want to change. They'll want to do something. They want to be different. They want to live different. Why? Because the changes that's within them changes them. 2 Timothy 2:1 says this, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure," listen, "endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Listen, if they don't like what you're saying, then that's fine. You've done your part. Shake the dust off your feet and move on. But he doesn't want you to shake the dust off your feet if you haven't done anything. But if you have and you've spoken, you've said, you've shared, and they don't accept, that's fine. Don't get offended. Don't get mad. Shake the dust off your feet. Be as a good soldier. Soldiers are not weak. They're not weaklings. They have strategically worked out. They have gone through rigorous training to be a soldier. To be a soldier in the military, you've got to go through rigorous training. You've got to go through obstacle courses. You've got to go through things over and over and over and over. And there's scenarios that you may face in war. But you go over and you practice it, practice it, practice it. That's the same way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. You practice and practice your testimony. You practice and practice about living for God. You practice and practice, and you continue to practice to be the soldier that Jesus is saying. No one will entangle in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to be the partakers of the crop. Consider what I say. May the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Listen, there is no difference. If a farmer plants, he expects to reap a harvest. But what did he do to reap a harvest? He had to get out there. He had to plow the ground. He had to get the ground ready. He had to plant the seed. He had to nurture the seed. He's had to water it. He's had to weed it. He's had to do what he has to do because guess what? He is wanting to reap a harvest the same way it is with us as a disciple and a servant. We are to plant the seed. You're to plant the seed. I didn't ask you to be a Bible thumper. I didn't ask you to be a preacher. Didn't ask you to be this great and mighty person. God is just asking us as humble as we can be. He that humbles himself shall be exalted, but he that exalts himself shall be humble. He's just asking what? He asked for fishers of men. He wanted them to be fishers of men. He asked smelly fishers that fished all the time. Peter was a great fisherman. He said, come. Peter went. Listen, God is asking for us, as ordinary that we are, to share the gospel with one another and sharing with one another. Romans 3 and 22 in my closing. And even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You may be God's special minister to somebody. Third, in my closing today, Jesus making the message simple to win a soul. Making it, listen, here's another thing. People will say, well, Pastor, I don't know what to say. You know what to say. You know what to do. I just don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Listen, make what you share to Jesus about Jesus, make it as simple as ever. Dr. Billy Graham won many, many millions to Jesus. But every sermon that he preached and everything that he spoke about, a 12-year-old could understand what he said in every one of his sermons. Listen, you don't have to have all the eloquent words and all of these and thous and all. Listen, you say it from your heart. What Jesus has done to you. Listen, when we do it from our heart, that's when people really begin to see who you are when you speak from your heart. Because they'll know it wasn't rehearsed. They'll know it's not what somebody said to you. You will know deep down when Jesus saved your soul. You will remember when God came into your heart and life. You will remember the change that took place in your life. That will always be with you. That will never leave you. I remember giving my life to Jesus at the age of 16 on Halloween night when all the devils and goblins and all the other goo-you-roos were worshiping the devil, I got saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit that night at age 16. And that's a night I'll never forget. You will never forget when God saved you. When you came to an old-fashioned altar of prayer, and how that you came to know Jesus, whether it was in your house, in a church, somebody's church, wherever it was, you remember the time that Jesus saved you and how that He came into your heart and life. And that won't leave you. And that you have, and that you've received, that is what you're to give and to share with others. Listen. She said, "Give me that drink." All understand. All of the understanding began to take place. "Give me that to drink." Living water for her spiritual thirst would end her search. Not out. Not ours to our task to make it simple and difficult, but it's just the opposite. To go to someone with the simple message. If it's John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth upon Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's a simple message right there to let people know, to say John 3:16. Oh my, I thought I had 3 points. I've actually got four. One more. Fourth point. Jesus brushing aside as an argument to win a soul. He brushed aside an argument. She wanted to argue with Him. "What are you doing hanging around with me? What do you want to have to deal with me? You don't want to be around me. We Samaritans don't hang around with the Jews. The Jews don't hang around with the Samaritans. What do you need of me?" You know, she's saying, "I've been used. I've been abused. I've been through one man, two man, three man, four man. I'm trying to find happiness. I'm trying to find peace. I'm trying to find joy. I'm trying to find all the things. What do you want with me?" He said, "If you only knew who I was." All of the running, all the searching, all of the trying to get happiness, chasing this and chasing that. Listen, that's what the world's doing today, folks. They're chasing everything. They're chasing their high. They're trying to get everything that they possibly can. And you've heard me say it, I've got to say it again. You can shoot up, abuse up, snort up, and do all the things that you possibly can do, but you'll never feel satisfied because you're back to the same problem you had yesterday, and it's the same thing today. It doesn't change. But when you get a hold of the living water, when you get a hold of the living water, the water that never will run dry, the water that fulfills, hallelujah, that fills the soul of a man, a woman, a child, when you get the living water in you, there's nothing, hallelujah, that can separate you from the love of God, because now He's entrusted you and you have the power and the authority to overcome anything that comes in your life. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Our fathers worshiping in this mountain, you say. And the woman wanted a religious argument. Jesus refused and bypassed that religious argument. An ounce of a testimony is worth a pound of arguments. Let me say it again. An ounce of a testimony is worth a pound of arguments. If somebody wants to argue with you, listen, tell them that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Listen, get to the point. Lead the person to Jesus. The converted woman became an evangelist because she went and told her world
the world which she lived in. She went and told her world. And she told her world and said, you've got to come meet this man. You've got to see this man. This man has living water. He didn't want no water out of no well. He just basically came to me. And he came to give me the good news. Hallelujah. Gave me the good news. He came and sought after me. After me, a wretched sinner that I am, that I am, he came after me when everybody else said, you're nothing but a whore, you're nothing but